The Black Talk Radio Network is made possible in part with help from the Black Talk Media Project, a North Carolina-based nonprofit engaged in the production and distribution of independent digital black media. Find out more by going to blacktalkradionetwork.com or blacktalkmediaproject.org and look for the menu tab, Crowdfunding Black Media. Black Talk Media Project, helping to provide you with new black media for the new millennium. Opinions expressed by callers, guests, and hosts do not necessarily reflect those of the Black Talk Radio Network and Black Talk Media Project. Black Talk Radio is new black media for the new millennium. Good afternoon. You are tuned in to Black Talk Radio. My name is Scotty Reed, of course. This is Black Talk Radio News. I'm broadcasting from behind the enemy lines of USA Inc. Sorry, got off to a rough start. Also got started with the program late. Apologies for that. I needed to take care of some things that I had forgot that were very important to the security of parts of the network, and I had to take care of that before coming on air. So let me start over. Welcome to Black Talk Radio News. My name is Scotty Reed, broadcasting from behind the enemy lines of USA Inc. Today's date is June 20th, 2016. It is a Monday afternoon, broadcasting from the hot state of North Carolina. Tell you it's hot, but I'm not complaining because I am not one to complain about my weather when I know other people, man, they're living in way more harsh conditions than I am, but it's hot down here. All right, so this is what I have planned for today. Today is a open forum. We will open up the phone lines, but I also, to start off, want to talk about news concerning the Black Talk Radio Network and the Black Talk Media Project. And let me right off the bat say, if you are check your addresses when you make a donation to the Black Talk Media Project and you give us an address for your t-shirt to send the shirt. Double check your addresses. I have gotten, since we have started our media crowdfunding campaign, at least two shirts. I got the second one back in the mail today. Return could not deliver. So make sure that you double check and make sure you're giving us the right address and you make arrangements for people, you know, to pick up the package. All right. So let me just say that right off the bat. But yeah, I do have some other news concerning the network in general and the Black Talk Media Project. Specifically, I also want to mark the upcoming 51st anniversary of the founding of the Organization of Afro-American Unity in 1965 by Malcolm X, John Henry Clark, and other black nationalist leaders on June 24, 1964 in Harlem, New York. So June 24th will be this coming Friday. And so I'll probably put together a little program, put together some clips to mark that occasion. But I just wanted to remind you of those coming up because it also kind of relates to what the Black Talk Media Project is about. If you don't know much about the Organization of Afro-American Unity, or if you do know, one of the things you know first and foremost was that Malcolm X and the other founders made this a non-religious organization. They thought that it was key to uniting the 24 million as Malcolm would call, Black Victims of America, that it cannot be a religious organization. It just cannot be. And this is totally, you know, a political organization meant to address the terrorization, the enslavement, all the human rights violations against Black people in this country. That's what it was about. Okay, so want to talk more about that. Also have some updates on the terrorist attack that happened in Orlando, and a partial transcript of Mateen's 911 call has been released. Now, they could have really just kept this transcript, okay? And the way the Washington Post published it and a couple of other places I looked to get a transcript, they didn't just outright publish the transcript. All right, what they did was publish a little portion of the call and then put all of their blah, 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 blah in between the next excerpt that they published. But in its totality, it really doesn't even make up a paragraph of what they did release. They redacted most of it, but it does shed a little bit more light on the question that we have been asking on why it took SWAT so long to breach the building. Okay, and as I've always stated, we got to keep waiting on more information to come out. It is okay to speculate based on the evidence at hand, but keep in mind we need more information to come out. And that's one of the questions that I have asked. As for the release of the log of the SWAT team, their deployment laws or the, what do they call it, the dispatch logs and whatnot, because I want to know when they got the call, how long did it take them to get there. If they got the call right away, you know, within minutes of hearing gunshots, and then they were there like in 10 minutes, 15 minutes or whatnot, okay, why did they then wait 3 hours to, you know, finally breach the building? And so a little bit more information is coming out that sheds some light into that. And so I definitely won't talk about that, but the timeline is still developing. And also, the Department of Justice, you know, Loretta Lynch, the U.S. Attorney General, she was on some of the corporate news outlets yesterday. She was on Fox News, and she was talking about the coming release of these transcripts and what have you. I believe I played that clip yesterday, but the DOJ, Loretta Lynch, the President, Barack Obama, Hillary Clinton, all these different talking heads in the media continue to push the false narrative that the club was targeted because it was a quote-unquote gay club. Nothing, as I've been stating, from what we do know, what we heard from Patience Carter, a confirmed victim who was in the bathroom with the man, that he didn't say anything about homosexuality. He didn't say anything homophobic, and why he was targeting the Pulse is the name of the club. And so why are they misdirecting you, the public? Why aren't they releasing all of the, you know, transcripts of the 911 call he made unredacted? Now, they've been pushing this gay hate speculation, and, you know, even the FBI is still talking about they investigating it as a hate crime. But where is all this speculation coming from? Because it really don't make any sense. Well, I think I identified it's one single source, the father. The father claimed, without any corroboration from anybody else, but the father said, oh, he was set off by two men kissing. All right, that's the only source of speculation about this nightclub was targeted, not because it was in a city in America, not because of any foreign policy or anything like that. That's the only, no, this man don't want other people in his religion, his faith, or his connections. And this guy got a very shady CIA background, possibly going back to the Reagan administration and their proxy war against Russia and Afghanistan. I think that's how he ended up with, being able to immigrate here to the United States. But he's very shady man. Maybe suffering from some kind of mental illness himself. He pretends to be the president, from what I've read, and make videos and whatnot, the president of Afghanistan. But I also read he really is a candidate for president in Afghanistan. But pretty much hundreds of people, the process for running for president in Afghanistan is not particularly that difficult. But he is the only one with this story about any kind of homophobia related to his son. And so he is saying that perhaps because he don't want people to know his son was gay. His son had been frequenting this club for at least 3 years, never a report of a call or police responding to any disturbances involving him on a anti-gay, homophobic rant or attacking gay people at the club. No, he's been going here for 3 years. I suspect the evidence would suggest that this guy was bisexual, that this guy was having sex with both men and women, because he was married at least twice. Lots of married men, and I came across quite a few of them in the United States military who were also sleeping with men outside of their marriages. I saw this in the U.S. military. So, lots to talk about there, but primarily the question should be, why have they redacted this call? They're not even releasing the audio. They just releasing a heavily redacted transcript of what he had to say. And I knew from the jump that the State Department, the highest levels of government, was going to get involved in censoring this 911 call. Now, what could he have on that 911 call that would be declared top secret? Because to redact something, it has to be deemed top secret. So what beans did Omar Mateen lay out? What did he say as further reason, other than the bombing of Afghanistan? What is it he said that the U.S. government doesn't want you to hear? That should be your number one question. All right, so let me get to the network news. Network news starting out. Yesterday, we had a program. The Black Talk Media Project provides engineering services for free. It's not really for free, but the services are provided, paid for by donations to the Black Talk Media Project as a nonprofit, in operating our digital radio station, Black Talk Radio. We open up certain number of hours on the station for people to have their program free of charge. Again, the nonprofit, all the donors and whatnot, we're paying for that. Your engineering services, the podcasting services, the streaming services, all of that. So as a nonprofit station, public radio station, we set aside a certain amount of hours that's open to the Black diaspora and to the public. And so, that quota was filled until yesterday, when I had to, after much thought today, I had to go ahead and terminate the program Shifting Paradigms that came on this network on Sundays at 12:30 p.m. Eastern Time. All right, so I'm only announcing that publicly because I've already sent an official letter of termination of services to the host of that program. And see, what a lot of people don't understand is that we are not the Scotty Reed and Max Parthas and everybody else associated with this platform, with this network, and the donors, the volunteers, the college interns and what have you. We are not, you know, just a bunch of people on the internet running their mouths, just posting stuff and what have you. No, this is an actual legitimate media organization that produces and distributes independent black media. We're filling a void that was left in the black radio market with the passage of the 1996 Telecommunications Act that killed terrestrial black radio. They took it away. They allowed all the big corporations like Clear Channel and CBS Radio and all the others, they allowed them to, you know, buy up more stations, which just provided an unfair competitive edge to black stations. And that's why we have lost so many black stations and what have you. And the only ones that really survive are those who are willing to go along with the programming, the corporate programming, I would even say the government programming, or to be, you know, influenced by particular political parties. I'm just trying to say that they ain't truly independent. Okay, so we are truly an independent media organization with a charter here in the state of North Carolina. We've tried to limit our entanglements with any kind of government entities, because we know that they like to put out a whole bunch of regulations and what have you, so they could suppress information from coming out, especially information that's coming out of this network on the issue of a racist system that's practicing slavery all the way up until today, still practicing 21st century slavery and human trafficking, genocide, and many human rights violations against black people and other non-white people. That's why Malcolm X and them formed the Organization for African American Unity to address these human rights violations and what have you. So, since we are are not entangled with the federal government. I mean, we do have an employee identification number that we, of course, have to get one in case we hire employees. Right now, we don't really have any full-time employees besides myself, because our budget will not allow for it. You know, speaking of our budget, last month we only raised like $300, less than $300. Much appreciate that $300, but just on donations alone, that's all we raised. I think we may have raised maybe $1,000, a little over $1,000, maybe $1,500 as we approach the 6 month, as we are halfway through the year. And let me tell you, that $300 don't pay for it. That $300 a month don't cover the expenses associated with not only the radio station, but associated with the websites, the different websites that we have. And it doesn't cover it. It doesn't cover it. How are we covering it? By offering services, other services. We lease out radio streams to independent media producers who lease that stream, and they're paying for it, and they can say whatever they want on their radio station, because their clients, all the nonprofit is doing is providing a service. We believe in freedom of speech and what have you. And if they, long as they don't violate any of the terms of agreement, then, you know, they say what they want. And we would not terminate their services. Doesn't mean we agree with anything that's being said on those stations. That's not even a matter of. The matter is, we're providing a service. They're paying for a service. So that is their station. That is their radio stream. They say whatever they want to say without any interference from us as the service provider. But when we're talking about our station, the flagship station of the Black Talk Radio Network, Black Talk Radio, we're talking about the nonprofit then. Now we're bringing other people, into the equation and what have you. So there was some things expressed yesterday. Well, really, it was just one thing for me, and that was, you know, whether it was passive aggressively, whether it tried to do it in a codified manner, but that is to justify, to co-sign on, to try to explain away and say that, you know, for religious reasons, these people should have been killed in Orlando. Now, I had expressed before that program that, you know, I have some concerns that we don't use these airwaves to justify the killing of anyone for any reasons. Now, you know, those who have been listening for the station a very long time, y'all know we tend to be more codified, but we will push the envelope. You know, we will push the envelope, but there is a line that once you come up to that line, you just don't simply cross it. All right? Now, when we talk about it may take another civil war and violence to end slavery, we use that in a historical context. We use history. We use, you know, some of the things that we see today that's very similar, and we're just analyzing the situation or whatnot. We are not telling anyone to go out there and kill any group of people that we have identified as being sinful in nature in terms of their practicing slavery. We ain't telling anyone or suggesting that anyone go kill George Zoli, the head of the GEO group, second largest prison plantation operator in the world. We ain't telling nobody to, you know, while we do identify these people, we don't tell anybody to go hunt down the board members of the Correction Corporation of America and say bust into one of their board meetings and gun them all down. We don't say stuff like that on the airwaves. Okay? There's a reason why. All right? The reason why is you don't hand your neck, you don't put your neck on the chopping block for your enemy to chop it off. I don't care to debate religion. This ain't a religious station. Even though people talk about spirituality and different things, the context does matter. Again, you know, we value freedom of speech very much on this program. Very much. Well, not this program, but this station. All right? We've had pastors who have used our services in the past and whatnot and paid hourly rate to simulcast their, you know, Sunday show on Black Talk Radio on Sunday morning and whatnot. We no longer carry that show, but, you know, that's a client. But I ain't never heard none of these people in the wake of a tragedy say that them people deserved it. The Bible said this, the Bible said that, the scriptures say this, and the scriptures say that. Even if that's what you believe, you don't come on the public airwaves and state those things. I mean, it's not even a matter of proving you right or wrong in your beliefs, your spiritual beliefs, or your religious laws that you adhere to. It ain't a matter of debate for me for that. The line was crossed when you co-signed on to the murder of people. Doesn't matter if they was gay or not. You co-sign on to a murder of people, of a terrorist act, whether that terrorist act was Islamic in nature, Christian in nature, white supremacist in nature, whatever. It's not a matter of religious doctrine. It's a matter of we live behind enemy lines. People have been targeting this network and wanting to take us down for a very long time. I don't come on airways and talk about everything that's going on behind the scenes. There are people in government, in the state government, in the state of North Carolina who doesn't think the Black Talk Media Project should even have a nonprofit charter. So it's not a being a matter of being scared or afraid of our enemies. I mean, it's just a whole lot of stuff to consider that people don't consider, and they on a whim abuse that which has been freely given to them, not taking any kind of consideration of ramifications or what they might say on the airways or what those ramifications might have on other people. You know, I've talked about this in the past with some of our people going on YouTube and talking about just outright killing police officers and all that. Now, it's, we could say that, well, they're practicing slavery and all this and that, and so they the slave catchers, and you know, John Brown put the sword through the back of slave catchers. And we could co-sign on to all of that and all this, but better believe that, you know, you're going to be targeted by law enforcement. You're already being targeted. And what happened to that sister that did that up on YouTube? See, she didn't have a nonprofit. She ain't spent 8 years or more building a network, a safe space for black people, but going on white people's stuff and saying these things and you know, without any thought to repercussions or whatnot. Then they get arrested. Then they shedding tears and looking all sad face at the defense table up in the thing, up in the courtroom, because they made it easy for the slave catcher to put you up on the slave blocks. Everything ain't meant for to be stated publicly. And some of these people, they just playing shock jock. They just want to be known as talking tough and what have you. When if they was really about it, some making some revolutionary moves or anything like that, they wouldn't be bringing that sort of attention to themselves. Because we see what happens when you bring that sort of attention to yourself. You end up on TV crying in handcuffs. What did we learn from COINTELPRO and the destruction of many black organizations, including the Organization for African American Unity? The Black Panther, or this was a political organization. This was not just a bunch of people who just, you know, said we gonna have a name and we just gonna run around in black berets and black leather jackets. And no, this was a organization with a nonprofit charter or a political charter, because it was a real political party. What did they do? They targeted, they set people up, they sent infiltrators to try to bring the organization down. And they were successful at it. So in a way, this is my fault for not holding to stricter security practices. Because, you know, you have people online who aren't using their real names. They're not saying these things under their real names. They're using pseudonyms on the internet. And they're saying these things thinking they can't be tracked. But, you know, IP addresses can be tracked all day. Every time you send an email, that, you know, come on, people. Y'all don't know about the extent and capabilities of surveillance that they have today. Ain't no hiding. But these people say things thinking this fake name is going to protect them. And then it might protect them in terms of when they go use their government name to put on an application so that they can be employed to provide, you know, food and other things, you know, human necessities, rent, pay rent, mortgage, all that. You got to be able to earn a living. So, you know, that's why they use fake names. They ain't trying to be tied to anything that they say on the internet behind these profiles that they have set up. They ain't trying to be connected to that, because employers do surface it. So again, that shows me that a person who would do that on our airwaves don't care nothing about our business, don't care nothing about our business partners. How do you know some of the partners of the film festival, hip hop film festival that we are sponsoring in New York City, that they want that kind of attention attracted to them or tied to them in any kind of way? Like they, when they give, had a hip hop festival in August, like they want to be answering questions about Black Talk Radio at they opening or in the press session and saying, this person on Black Talk Radio, an official program, said that gays should be killed according to Leviticus and whatnot. You think they won't be answering questions like that? Just be real about it. That's really being real. It ain't being real by expressing extremist views on the internet. That's not being real. Being real is knowing the consequences of your actions and weighing, the pros and cons before you open up your mouth and say some things that can have serious impact on other people. Next thing you know, I know, because I had the evidence since we've been operating since 2008 that we've been on law enforcement's radar. We know, I have personally had hack attempts on my computer. Not this specific computer, but another computer I was using that traced back to a building in Langley Falls. Government intelligence. So I know we've been being watched. When I hear Bill Bratton of the NYPD tell a group of police cadets in a speech that the Black community look at us as slave catchers, I know Bill Bratton ain't heard that nowhere else but on this network, on this station. And so there are people that don't want to see us continue. So they could easily destroy the Black Talk Media Project by just even opening up an investigation to see if we got any ties to any extremist terrorist cells or what have you. And what does that mean? I don't even have to be charged with anything, but that means I'm going to have to hire an attorney to defend the Black Talk Media Project, to defend myself personally as its CEO and president. And let me tell you, $300 a month in donations is not going to cover them legal fees. And so all the programming that you hear on Black Talk Radio Network, the platform, whether it is this station or the other black stations, gone. Because the platform's gone. All the podcasts, gone. 8 years of sweat and hard labor, most of it mental, gone. On the other side, I want to read the letter that I sent, the termination of services. So I'm going to take a station identification break, and then we'll be back on the other side.
The Black Talk Radio Network is made possible in part with help from the Black Talk Media Project, a North Carolina-based nonprofit engaged in the production and distribution of independent digital black media. Find out more by going to blacktalkradionetwork.com or blacktalkmediaproject.org and look for the menu tab, Crowdfunding Black Media. Black Talk Media Project, helping to provide you with new black media for the new millennium.
You are tuned in to Black Talk Radio, new black media for the new millennium.
And welcome back to Black Talk Radio News. Scotty Reed in on this broadcast from behind these enemy lines. And then also, I did not apologize to the listening audience. If you tuned in to that program yesterday, I apologize to our donors and what have you. Again, we had to consider everything. Do we want the Black Talk Media Project on anybody's radar as a supporter of international terrorism and calling for the killing of people and or justifying terrorist attacks? No, we don't. We don't want our donors to be accused of supporting a terrorist organization or something like that. Again, things that, and I don't do anything on a whim, at least I try not to. So after that program yesterday, I talked to family members. I talked to a supporter from overseas and whatnot. Make sure I'm not overreacting, making sure that, you know, really just to get their thoughts on it, to get, you know, a perspective of several other different people whose perspective I value and what have you. And they all agree that I'm put in a position where I have to do this for the good of the station, for the good of the donors, for the good of the listeners, for the good of the other hosts and what have you. I have that responsibility falls to me. But this is the letter that I sent. This email is to inform you the free services provided to you to host a digital radio program on the Black Talk Radio digital radio station and the podcasting services have been terminated. The Black Talk Media Project is a registered nonprofit and it will not have its entire media operations put at risk by religious zealotry in justifying, calling for, or co-signing on in any way the murder and attempted murder of human beings. To do this in the wake of such an attack as occurred in Orlando gives the appearance of justifying an act of terrorism. It's inexcusable, it is short-sighted, and it's naive. As president of the nonprofit, I personally expressed to you before your impromptu program that you would not justify the murder of the victims of the Orlando nightclub shooting. You decided you would do so anyway, citing scriptures from Judaism's Torah, even when I admonished a caller on air. Your passive aggression showed me a total disregard for the welfare of the station and everyone else on it by bringing possible unwelcome attention to the station, which could include possible law enforcement investigations for connections to those who would kill people in the name of a religion, revocation of our nonprofit charter, all because people speak without thought to the possible consequences or total disregard for those who might be affected by these actions. You might not know it or considered it, but the Black Talk Radio has been under government and police surveillance since its founding. You don't get to be a black platform that has reached millions online and on air in the past 8 years and not be scrutinized by the authorities. It is a shame because we thought you brought important topics to the station, discussing the Flint water crisis, homeschooling, home birthing, and a number of other issues like missing while black in America. Perhaps if you had stuck to your originally planned topic on sisterhood and heeding my concerns, we would not have to part ways with you. However, we cannot jeopardize the overall good we are doing in utilizing new mass media or allow it to be infiltrated by extremists or government plans. So there you have it. That is why I took the steps, took the executive decision that I took to suspend Shifting Paradigms from Black Talk Radio. As far as I'm concerned, the matter is behind us. Now, let me pull up little history as to why I don't do religion. I don't get down with religious fanaticism. You know, I allow everyone to hold their spiritual and religious beliefs. I ain't got a problem with it, except for for when it starts infringing on other people's right to life, right to live, right to choose, right to determine, right to self-determination, just human rights. And there's no way around it. If I feel that if a person isn't harming me personally, or if I don't catch them in the act of harming somebody else who shouldn't be harmed and doesn't want to be harmed, then I don't have no reason to quarrel with that person. I definitely don't have no reason to kill them. Let's just put it that way. I have no reason to kill them. I don't get down with all this different religious doctrine. If that's how you feel, that's how you feel. Go post those scriptures on the front door of your business. You running some kind of insurance business or whatever your business may be, and you got a storefront or you selling them on products online, post Leviticus or some kind of scripture saying if man lie with man, he should be killed. Go post that on your business properties and do those kind of things. But in terms of African-American unity, all black people are victims of racism and white supremacy. All black people. That's what we should be considering first and foremost. Now, some others do tend to side with the oppressor and get rewarded for that oppressing, and they harm other black people. But at the end of the day, all black people in the United States are victim of racism, of systemic white supremacy, of slavery, of everything evil associated with slavery, which includes pedophilia and all kind of other kind of stuff. All right. So these are victims. We don't know how these victims got to be, however they are, or involved in whatever behavior they are involved in. We don't know. So instead of arguing about that, how about we not even have that conversation? And that's what the founding of the Organization of Afro-American Unity was all about. We focusing on one enemy. That's the white supremacists. That's the U.S. government. We focusing on that one enemy and what he's doing to all black people, regardless of whatever lifestyle they're living, whatever religious views they have. We don't care. We're bringing up the United States on human rights violations. That was the primary mission of the Organization of Afro-American Unity, the OAAU, founded by Malcolm X and John Henry Clark, as well as other black nationalist leaders. Why? Because religion, there are so many different religions within a religion. If you just take Christianity, well, if you just take the Bible, well, that's really two different religions there. Judaism in the Old Testament, the Torah, that's what the Jews even practice in today. That's why they, you know, feel no moral issues with taking other people's land. That's all in the Old Testament, in the Torah. They commanded, they God's children, they do what the hell they want to. These are heathens, we can kill them and do all that. That's the Old Testament there. All right, that's Judaism. And then even Judaism have different sects, just like in Islam, all these different. So there is never going to be any kind of unity on religious grounds. None. John Henry Clark knew this. Malcolm X knew this. Those other black nationalist leaders knew that. So what they said was, check your religion at the door. We ain't in here to talk about some thousands of year old scripture talking about animal sacrifices or any kind of thing like that, or adulterers being stoned or prostitutes being killed. And no, we ain't here to talk about that. We here in unity as black people to do what? To address the issue of global racism and white supremacy. That's what we here to do. And if we ain't talking about addressing that, then we don't need to talk about it, because all it's doing. Now, when you go home, or you go to your mosque, or you go to your church, whatever sect you belong to, that's what you do. That's you. You do you. We are not here to tell you how to find God or anything like that. No, we're here to focus on one specific problem. So when you come in, you leave all that stuff at the door. Especially if it's talking about cutting people's heads off and putting it on the stake because they angered the Lord or any kind of thing like that. We ain't talking about putting women and children to death because they misled the Israelites and the children of God. And you know, but we gonna keep the little female slaves for ourselves. We ain't talking about that. No, we ain't. No, we talking about racism. We talking about slavery. We talking about terrorism. We're talking about all those things that's impacting all black people. We gonna unify on that one point. And that's what we've tried to do, as far as I'm concerned, on this network for the 8 years now. Of course, we do, you know, have to analyze it and continue to break it down, the various aspects of the problem of slavery, primarily used against black people, so that we can better come up with ways to counter their attacks and what have you. And now, you know, that's what we try to keep this focus on. Although I'm a spiritual person, I don't come on these airwaves and try to tell you my way is right. Or I come on here to provide people with news, hopefully they can arm themselves with, as they try to figure out how to deal with the system of slavery and racism. That, you know, or to warn them, this particular state practicing slavery more than that particular state. This particular county is, you know, high levels of slave catchers killing people. Be careful. You know, we report on that kind of stuff. We report on black people coming together to form a political agenda and become a political force to push the issue affecting all black people in this country. Trying to, you know, break down these stories in a way to help people understand how politics work, how it, you know, reaches into every people activity. That's what we have always been about. Again, if people have, and it's different when a caller calls in and express whatever they want to express, that's up to that host. But when they cross the line and they start putting the whole network and the nonprofit at risk, and they start talking about, I'm happy that faggots been killed and what, that's not even being codified behind these enemy lines when you think about it. You're not being codified. You're bringing attention to yourself. You're going to bring stuff down on people that you ain't even prepared to handle. Let's not forget our position on the battlefield. We are in a weak position on the battlefield. We have to make do with the little bit that we have. So let's not act like God is going to come down from the sky and protect us from these white supremacists, because it ain't happen. I don't foresee it going to happen, or anything like that. As far as I can tell, we down here fending for ourselves. Now, I'm not going to get into the spiritual, my spiritual, personal spiritual beliefs. I do believe, you know, in spirituality. I do believe in a creator and all of that. But unless I'm sharing that aspect of my life with you, and it ties into, well, how do we dismantle the system? then I'll share that with you. But if it ain't got nothing to do with that, I'm not trying to proselytize here on these airways. I ain't trying to convince you to follow the same people that I follow. We got a call, area code 267. Go ahead and chime in with your questions or comments.
Hey, Scotty, I was listening to you. First of all, I'm going to send you out something at the end of the month. I try to, you know, as my schedule and finances permit, try to take care
of. Hey, bro, look, bro, you didn't gave more than most people have given to this network. You ain't got to explain. You ain't got to explain nothing to me, man. I'm just, you know, happy that we got a supporter like you out there in terms of donating to and keeping our work alive. So no need to explain about why you haven't done this or that. You don't have to explain that to me, bro. That's all I'm saying.
Well, this station is important to us, and you know, and when something's important, it's important to the, you know, when it's important to an individual, then you show by your actions how important it is. So you will be getting something from me at the end of the month.
Thank you, sir.
And your conversation, I didn't hear what program that you were talking about. You know, and people sort of take my spin on that whole Orlando thing as hatred, and it's not. It has nothing to do with religion, and it has nothing to do with hatred. But when I see stuff, when I first cut on the television because I heard of something happening in Orlando, and I seen the worst massacre, mass murder, and all this stuff, I got pissed off right away, man.
Right, because we know
that's
a lot. The
first thing that came to my mind was Tulsa, Oklahoma,
right.
Rosewood, New York. I forget what that was called. Even here in Philadelphia, we had some riots, but they probably didn't count up the bodies. So automatically, I was pissed.
Mm-hmm.
And what I do see, and this is what I do see, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but right now, the media is placing Black America at the bottom of the barrel, even more of a, they're just putting us on the bottom of the barrel, and the way people practice sex is more important than
right.
Black people.
Right.
And I take that as an insult, and that's when I come out swinging.
Right.
Nothing against those individuals, what they do in their own rooms. If I see it on my television set, I'll cut it off.
Right.
If I hear about it on my radio, I cut it off.
Right.
You know, because there were certain moral standards that my parents raised me
right.
under that I honor them by. So, you know, and it's nothing against them because I, you know, I'm not saying they're friends, but there are associates, there are coworkers that practice that lifestyle. And I'm the kind of person, if I see a cat run out in the street and get hit by a car, it hurts me. You know what I mean? So
what you're saying, Brother Ralph, is you wouldn't be happy if those co-workers, you came to work and you found out all these co-workers was at this club and they got murdered. You know, you wouldn't be happy about that. Is that what you're saying?
Well, what I'm saying is if those co-workers weren't racist villains that wanted to have my head cut off, no, I wouldn't be happy about it. No, I'm just being honest with you, Scotty.
Yeah, you know you're keeping I mean? It real. You're keeping
you know,
it real.
You know, like I love what Malcolm X said. He said, it's time to stop singing and start swinging. These people are putting an assault, and it's going to get worse right now with a lot of these Negroes in charge backing Hillary Clinton.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And, you know, I just see the handwriting on the wall. I just saw another video where these two policemen arrested a sister in the middle of the street. Mm-hmm. You had a black man walking around videotaping it, and the one white officer goes up and just kicks the woman in the face. I said, I'm done now. Maybe we don't see what the Second Amendment means, but if I am a citizen, I know what it means.
Right.
It means that you have the right to take arms up as a militia against a tyrannical government. Now, that's That's right there in their constitution, Scotty.
Right.
And what I see now is a bunch of tyrants.
Right.
Running around, killing our people, kicking them, abusing our women, our children, and we're standing around taking videotapes and putting them on Facebook. That can't cut it, man. And I understand what you say also earlier. You know, some of those things you just don't discuss across the radio. So, you know, this really is getting under my skin, and it should be getting under the skin of every person who had sympathy for those people down there in Orlando that got murdered. They should have sympathy toward seeing this happen to our women and children. And that's all I'm saying, bro. We got to keep our priorities straight.
Right.
You know what I mean? Right. And that's where I come from. You know what I mean? Now, like I said, if a cat run across the street and it gets hit by a car, oh, man, my heart goes out for it. You know what I mean? I don't like seeing anything die. Unless they want to see me die. Then, you know, it's an eye for an eye. Then that scripture come out, eye for an eye. Let me get out my slingshot against Goliath and everything else.
Right.
But, no. And I don't know what program you're talking about. I have an idea, you know, because I know that person has strict religious beliefs. I've heard them before. But, I'm just calling to let you know I'm gonna continue to donate. I'm glad I tuned in today. I had a chance to tune in, and this station is important. You know what I mean? I got treated as such.
Thank you.
You know,
thank you. Certainly appreciate you, Brother Ralph.
Yeah, appreciate you too, brother. I just had to come in and see. Sometimes when we as black people express our love for ourselves and black people, we're sort of twisted into thinking that's hatred for others. And it's not. You're put on this earth to love who and what you are. And if you see who and what you are being discriminated against, being stepped on, then you have a right to voice your opinion against that. And it's no hatred toward anybody else. And I think that's where, you know, hatred is not even in, I hate what's wrong and I hate what's evil and I hated seeing those two, you call them race soldiers or whatever, kick that woman in the face. They wouldn't do that to their own mother.
Nope.
So why should they do that to one of our sisters, Scotty?
Right. I agree, man. These slave catchers being out of hand, dog.
yeah. So I wouldn't say nothing across the air that would cost your life. I'm just voicing my opinion. We have a right to love ourselves.
Right, we
it's
do.
Just that so many of us don't, and that's what pisses me off.
But when we're having conversations that's out in the public, and we know the enemy's listening, then we have to use codified language. We have to, you know, just be smart about what we're saying and what have you. And I just don't think it's smart to co-sign on to a murder of a bunch of people because they don't follow along whatever my religious beliefs say about living a certain lifestyle. And then to me, you're doing exactly what the government wants to do, is misdirect you from the real reason for the attack, which has to do with U.S. foreign policy against all the non-white nations of the world. You take the focus off of them, and now you putting it on gay people, and I think they should have been killed because, you know, two men shouldn't be poking each other and you know, blah, blah, blah. They want you to focus on that, and because they're pushing it, the gay agenda. Let's keep it real. There is a gay political agenda. And that's not
pushed down our throats. I think it's being pushed down our throats, bro.
Right. I read a story the other day, Brother Matt, Brother Ralph, about now they're going to start, I think it's in California, where this one school district is considering a curriculum to teach kindergartners about transsexualism and stuff. These kids don't need nobody talking to them about any kind of sexuality in those terms, you know, especially that young, that, see, that's overstepping your bounds, and now I got to pull my kid out your school and homeschool. See, that's the solution right. to that. The solution isn't for me to go to the board meeting of the decision makers who put this curriculum in and kill them all. No, the appropriate response for me would be to remove my child from. Well, as Malcolm said, you a fool to have them in there to begin with.
You know what, Scott? I'm a person that loves action. I'm just putting this idea out there for all your Christian folk, and maybe some of your Muslim folk, even though they do, some Muslim Islamic places do have their own schools because they don't agree with. I'm talking about withholding your money from that collection plate until you tell that pastor, if you're against this and you're against that, why don't you take some of this money that we've been giving you over these past 10, 20, 30 years and create our own schools and create our own businesses. That way we create our own community. If you do that, then you really are a man of God. But if you just stand up there every Sunday morning hooping and hollering, taking a collection of money out of the hood and putting it in one of these banks that discriminates against the same people that's putting it in that plate, I can't call you a man of God, Scotty.
No.
You know what I mean? I can't. And I heard your conversation, I think it was last week, with Brother Elliot and them. And, you know, it's not enough of them. If it is some, it's not enough of them.
No, it's not enough. It's not enough.
It's not enough.
They do exist. They're like a unicorn sighting, but they do exist. It's just not enough. You know, for you to put your collection, take up the collection plate and go deposit it with Bank of America, investing in 21st century slavery, investing in weapons of mass destructions. I read an article about they've invested in the cluster bomb, in the companies making these cluster bombs and what have you. Then, I mean, come on. I'm like you. How can you call yourself a man of God and you're going to allow money that you have really extorted from the community with this old done away with law of we got to give 10% of our earning, you know, the tithing and all of that, and then you're going to turn around and give it to enslavers and murderers?
And allow these people to walk up in your church to get for votes because you got a little bit of money slipped to you. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, you can't call yourself a man. I call you a Judas, you know, to be honest with you. If you really read if they really read that book that they supposed to be reading, they will see nothing they're doing is so-called Christ-like. It's basically being Judas. Mm-hmm. And they're selling their people out for less than 30 pieces of silver these days. Mm-hmm. But, man, I tell you, we have the answers. We have everything. It's just that we don't have the people in position to put these things in, you know, in place. We have the churches. These churches are filled every Sunday. Man, each one of them could be a school for our children. Each one of them could invest in businesses. Each one of them could be doing so much. But these so-called men of God, these Judases, only think about themselves and how they're prospering and getting $65 million.
And also, don't assume that these preachers are really led by the Creator or are even conscious.
Well, me and you know they ain't. But it's the congregation that follow these people, man. You know what I mean? And I just, you know, a lot of times I just zip my tongue up and I just shake my hand and I shake my... And they're the main ones running around quoting Leviticus 20:13. They're the one, main ones running around. But what about that Judas that's up there that's taking your money every Sunday? Him and his wife and his children are having a good college education and you're catching public transportation to church. Mm. Come on. You know what I mean? I mean, this is happening too much. Where people got to wake up and have some common sense, man. And it's just sad, man. But no, I called in to feel you. You're right. Certain things should not be discussed over the airways. And you know, and there's a way to get your point across. My point is, we as black people should learn to love how to be black people. If you start doing that, you can love other people. You don't have to hate other people and be all trapped up in fear. But the thing about it, it starts with you. If you don't love yourself, you don't really love nobody else anyway. And that's the bottom line, man. You can't love it. And then again, we might be so twisted where we do love these other people and hate ourselves. So who knows?
Who knows, man? Who knows? Thank you, brother. Hey, you have a good day, bro. Thanks for chiming in.
All right, Brother Scotty. Take care.
All right, Brother Ralph. Good to hear from him. And again, there is, you know, let me go ahead and get an update on that terrorist attack that happened in Orlando. As I started at the beginning of the program, they have issued a partial transcript, been heavily redacted, and of the 911 call made by the shooter, Omar Mateen. Again, I think, and, you know, from my professional experience with a military background and talking to others, I still believe there was more than one shooter. It's hard to believe one man armed with a semi-automatic rifle and a handgun was able to inflict 100 casualties like he did, you know. So I would keep my mind open as to the fact that it possibly could have been other shooters. All right, so not dismissing that, but we know Omar Mateen has been identified as the deranged individual who went in there and he made the calls to 911. Now, I've been calling since day two for the release of the 911 call, not transcripts, the entire call. The call, all right, release the call. I express doubt that they would release the call, and if they did release it, would be redacted. Well, I've been proven right. All right, why was I right, and what was I basing, you know, my prediction on? Well, I was just basing it simply off of what Patience Carter said, the black woman who was a victim, who spoke to the media, articulated pretty well, and plus she's an intern, so, you know, I'm thinking that her training in journalism or whatnot made her take note of details and what have you, because she gonna, if she survives, you know, again, articulate this and whatnot. So she articulated that on the call. He said that, "I don't got nothing against black people. I'm doing this for my country." I don't see that in the transcripts that they have released. Then at the beginning, I think she said before he said that, you know, this is about bombing my country. This is what he told the people on the 911 call. That is not in those transcripts, or it has been redacted. Another thing that they redacted, who did this man pledge allegiance to? Now, all day long, we've been hearing presidential candidates, president, everybody and their grandma saying that he pledged allegiance to ISIS. How do you know? Because somebody told you he pledged allegiance to ISIS. Now, they published a partial transcript of the 911 call. It says that I pledge allegiance to, and they redacted. Now, if you telling us it's ISIS, it don't make sense for you to redact that portion. He must have gave some other name. For all I know, he could have said, "I pledge allegiance to the neo-Nazis in the Confederacy of America." For all I know, right? Because they won't release the call. They redacted the partial transcript. So you are asking me to take my word for it. He said ISIS, or he said ISIL, or whatever. Or maybe he mentioned a name of a terrorist organization that they just don't want you to know about yet, that they've been developing in the wings to do false flag attacks or something like that, and what have you. I mean, come on, how do we know? We don't, because they are putting this investigation in so much secrecy and redacting stuff, it don't even make sense to redact. If he said I pledge allegiance to ISIS, then why not put that on there? Why black it out and what have you? Now, the only person that's talking about some gay stuff, or he might have did it because he was gay or what, it's the father. Like I said at the beginning, he could just be saying that because he don't want people to know his son was bisexual. having sex with me and them women. He don't want other people in the family, you know, thinking his good Muslim son was homosexual. So he gonna say, you know, so it make total sense for him to come out and say, well, he was set off because he saw two gay men kissing. But he didn't post about it on Facebook. Nobody else seemed to recall him being upset over such a thing or what have you. We don't know. Look, the father has worked for the CIA in the past. If we look at his age, how he got to this country from Afghanistan, I would say he probably was working for the Mujahideen. I probably butchered to say that, but I'm talking about the Muslim fighters that bin Laden was leading against the Soviets with help from, guess who? Ronald Reagan's federal government. So this dude probably been working with them in a CIA asset for decades, man, going back to the 80s. And that's how he got here. So this dude got a shady background. I wouldn't trust him to tell the damn truth about it. He has many reasons to lie. Only thing I can trust at this point is the testimony of the victim witness, Patience Carter, who said he mentioned the bombing of Afghanistan. He mentioned, you know, you're bombing my country. I've been reading up a little. This dude did start taking an interest in his cultural background, in traditional Afghan dances and stuff like that, trying to get in touch with his, I guess, ancestral roots, because he was born here, grew up here. So it could be as he tried to get in touch with his roots, he started looking at what the United States government is doing in his country and seeing the tens of thousands over or hundreds of thousands. If we think about all the casualties of war, just getting shot or bombed, it doesn't necessarily mean you a casualty. If they kill all your means of food production as well and destroy your means of food production and water sources and things of that nature, pollute your land with uranium shells, munitions and what have you, and now the land's uninhabitable, those are casualties too. So, you know, I can't say that these are the things that set him off. But I say it's more likely that's what set him off than what his father talking about. He saw some gay men kissing. Well, then, how come he didn't get set off 3 years ago when he was up in the Pulse? I'm sure he saw gay men kissing 3 years ago up in that club. He saw them 2 years ago kissing up in that club. And he saw them this year as he visited the club, all without being set off. So don't believe that. That's propaganda. That's misdirection. It has nothing to do with that. That's what the government, that's how the powers that be, the political agenda, the LGBTQ, whatever it's called, the gay agenda, they do have a political agenda. They have political organizations that they say are fighting for the human rights of gay people, like that one that endorsed Hillary Clinton, Human Rights Commission. That's all they focus on is whether or not the human rights of gays are being respected. They don't care about nobody else. And there's a lot of white supremacy within them too, within those organizations. But they do have an agenda, a political agenda. That's how they can openly serve in the military, whereas in the past they couldn't. That's why now, you know, their spouses and whatnot can get those benefits of the military, you know, that's recognizing the gay marriage and all that. All of that was pushed through a political agenda. They're using it here in North Carolina to point to the HB2 bill, the bathroom bill, which I'm against that bathroom bill because of everything else that's a part of it. It ain't just about that bathroom. But they're now using the Orlando attacks here in North Carolina to say that, oh, this was an attack on our community. This is all the hate that's directed towards us. And see, look at this, the HB2 bathroom bill. This is the persecution of gay. They're latching on to this to use it for their political agenda, even though this guy was one of them. From all appearances, he was one of them. He was gay. He was bisexual. He's having sex with both men and women. And if he didn't have a boyfriend and didn't have sex with men, he certainly wasn't put off by men having sexual relations with men, or he wouldn't have been frequenting this club for over 3 years. Now, again, if this guy, we will see all over, they talking about his Facebook profile and all, where are all the homophobic stuff that he was posting while he was in the club killing people? Where's all of that stuff at? Anything that comes out now, don't trust it, because Facebook can even change the post and make a post under his name and put the gay stuff up there and the misdirection and all of that kind of stuff and the gun control stuff. Man, you don't think that Mark Zuckerberg don't have that kind of access to a network he built? But what was he posting prior to that? I ain't heard nobody prior to this attack talk about he was homophobic. They said he was a lot of things, like angry all the time, mad all the time, crazy, you know, whatever, you know. But I didn't never hear nothing about him being homophobic or saying he hate gay people. Again, people who hate gay people don't hang out at gay clubs for 3 years now with no incident. So this is the government, this is the gay community latching on to a tragedy to use for their own political gain. And it's shameless. It's shameless, and it should be called out. This is also an attempt to take away your Second Amendment rights to own guns and banning all these weapons. And see, all they want us to have is probably 22 squirrel shooters. Rifles that, all you know, we only have enough power to take down a squirrel. They don't want us to be able to take down a deer or anything of similar size, in case, as the caller was talking about, you know, we reach the people's limit on the amount of tyranny that they will take, because that's what is prescribed by, that's what Frederick Douglass said, the limits of tyrants are prescribed by the endurance of their victims. That means if you're willing to take slavery, if you're willing to take people murdering you on a regular basis, if you know, all these ills that's associated with colonialism, and we are colonized here in this country. And so, like he said, their own documents say. But no, we got people want to give up the gun. Why we need these guns? Go for the misdirection. Go for the misdirection. Bans on assault, so-called assault weapon, which every weapon is an assault weapon, is going to do nothing about bombs and what have you. None of this would have stopped this dude from getting a gun. None of it. I mean, people break into these gun stores all the time. So what? What's the answer? Stop making guns? Is that where you want to head to? So you mean you trust the future of you and your children and your grandchildren? You want to trust the government officials that have been enforcing racism, white supremacy, and slavery for hundreds of years against black people? That's who you putting your trust in to protect you? Come on. That's just not logical. And that's the other agenda here. So I'm not falling for that. What I do question is, are you really so concerned about these attacks that you're willing to stop killing people, women, children, old people, innocent people, with these drone attacks, attacking wedding parties, public markets, just to get one person that you didn't play judge, jury, and executioner, just like Omar Mateen did? That's what the president do. That's what Barack Obama do. They brag about his kill list in his pocket, and he meet with his cabinet on Tuesdays to talk. I guess it's Terrorist Tuesdays, and talk about which person they gonna take out next. Judge, jury, and executioner. That's all. Hey, Omar Mateen might have been inspired by that. Hey, the CEO of USA Inc. got that kind of power, and he can decide who lives, who dies. I'm taking that power for myself. I'm going to emulate what he's doing. But I don't hear none of these people talking about maybe we need to reassess our strategy globally and you know, start taking measures to prevent these widespread civilian casualties and whatnot. Maybe we need to find another way besides violence to resolve our issues with other people and other nations across the planet. Maybe we shouldn't be so quick to bomb people or to overthrow their governments and just, you know, bring so much destruction upon the planet. Maybe we need to stop doing that, reassess that, and start trying to talk to people first. But see, talking to people don't put money in the pockets of the defense industry, the defense contractors. The shareholders of the military-industrial complex, the bomb makers, the bullet makers, the rifle makers, the tank makers. No, their pockets don't get filled through peaceful means of resolving conflicts. They only get paid when there's war. And there are two things that this country is built on, two industries, slavery and war. Slavery and war. Those are the two main industries right there. There are a lot of people with a lot of jobs because of slavery and war. And they ain't trying to lose them jobs. Therefore, they ain't trying to end slavery, and they ain't not trying to stop war. And that, my friends, is why we are not going to get any kind of confirmation on what Patience Carter told us, that he cited that this was for the bombing of Afghanistan, that he killed those people. And even then, that's, to me, that's not a justification to go in there and just kill a whole bunch of people who ain't ordered one person to be killed in a drone attack, like Hillary Clinton and her crew was discussing among themselves on unsecured BlackBerry. None of those people in that club did that. They didn't order no drone attacks. They didn't order any bombings of any countries. They didn't do that. No. So there is no justification for these attacks on civilians. None whatsoever, except for you a coward and you picked a soft target. That's all. You a coward. Anyway, those are my thoughts. I will go to the phone line before we wrap it up. Area code 973, thank you for weighing in. Go ahead with your question or comment.
Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, Mr. Reed, how are you?
I'm surviving.
That's good. Two things that I want to discuss. You were talking about the situation with your executive decision, and that's what comes with being the owner, well, the starter of the Black Talk Network. We have to make executive decisions to protect ourselves and others. You know, you're almost like, you know, the overseer. And, you know, it's funny because, you know, Malcolm had said, Mr. Reed, that we have to put religion aside and just get down to business. Just focus on what is important and put religion in the closet or whatever. And I truly believe that, because when you start to put religion into things, you know, people have their own deep personal belief. I can't go against what you believe, God, or what, you know, Islam or Catholic or whatever. I mean, think about here in America, how religion was not really forced upon us. It was freedom of religion. I mean, I'm a Christian. Don't get me wrong, but I would never want someone to force religion down my throat. I mean, let me believe what I believe and be a good person and do what I'm supposed to do as a good human being and move on with that. So, you know, I strongly agree with you that we can't put religious, you know, beliefs and let that overshadow what the main focus is, you know. And also, secondly, with respect to homosexuality, you know, the Bible says thou shalt not kill. So if one wants to inject religion into something, they should understand who's all talking about, oh, did they kill them because they were gay or whatever. Forget all that. Thou shalt not kill. What happened there, Mr. Reed, was a tragedy. It's going to happen again and again and again. And we act like, oh, my God. Oh, Jesus. Come on. Look at the 63 people who were killed in Chicago. Is anybody, oh, my God, about that? I mean, I'm not trying to put apples to apples or nuts or whatever, but let's be realistic. This guy, whatever reasons he did what he did, he killed people. America is built on killing people. They have killer shows. We learn from your young boys, one cowboys and Indians, and get a gun, as nearly Fuller said. This is rooted in us. So what are we so shocked about? Always changing the gun laws. The gun laws are not going to change. If it didn't change for that school in Connecticut, and that's not going to change for these 50 people. I don't agree. People are not giving up their guns, and they should. It's an isolated incident. It's going to be more isolated incidents. So let's not get all crazy and out of shape and bent like, oh my God, this is the biggest thing that ever happened. Just whatever. So that's what I'm a little passionate, but that's what I always say. My favorite quote is, "Here we go around the mulberry bush." That's how I feel about it. We go around the mulberry bush again and again and again, and we need to understand how we can stop doing that, you know. But people are going to be people. People are going to kill people as long as we're living in the street. And that's my comment. So, yes, sir, I agree with you making that executive decision protecting us, because I mean, it must have been something. You got me wanting to pull up the program. I hope you haven't deleted it or whatever, because
it was never published, and it won't be published either. I'm not going to put the evidence out there for enemies to use against us.
Good. That's good. Let's let it bury it and let it put it to rest, and let's just move on from that. That's very, very good. So yeah, sir, I'm with you 100% with respect to that. You're doing a great job. Keep on doing what you're doing, Black Talk Radio. I want them, this station, to be here forever. Because again, Sky, I listen to you so much. I mean, I feel like that you filter through the news. You really filter through the news, and I really appreciate that, sir. You have a great day.
Thank you, caller. You have a great day as well. All right, so we're going to conclude, and you know, I appreciate the affirmation from both the callers that I did the right thing in making the executive decision. I didn't just do it; I did seek consultation from wise people in my family about the situation and what have you. Because I do value freedom of speech and what have you, but there is nothing free, and there are consequences to the speech. So, you know, you weigh that against possible repercussions and things that you could lose and how other people might be affected. And so you had to make an executive decision, and those people I spoke to yesterday, three different people affirmed it. And I have two more callers who have affirmed that, they agree with the executive decision and where I came from with that. All right. So, you know, all is well with my spirit. And we're going to put this behind us. And if you didn't know, now you know a little bit more about the nature of the Black Talk Media Project as a nonprofit, the nature of this station and what have you. It's not that we may disagree. It's okay to disagree with each other, but some of our conversations, and I've said this consistently throughout the years since I've been in radio, is that everything ain't for public discussion. You know, I may not agree with you on this point, but you know what? We're not going to have that discussion on the airways. If I really think it's constructive use of my time to have a discussion like that with you off the air, then we'll have it off the air. All right? But, you know, I don't think it's constructive use of anyone's time trying to convince people to believe this or that when it comes to religion, when it comes to spirituality, and all that. Because people are raised with these beliefs, or they, you know, whenever they obtain these beliefs, these are deeply held beliefs, and they sincerely, you know, may feel these things. But that's all good, except for when those beliefs infringe on the rights of others. Well, hey, we just had to, I think the best word is exercise discretion. Discretion. All right. So I'll be back on air tomorrow. Tomorrow is Tuesday. I do believe that Dark Matter Radio will be on tonight. That's a new program that is on the Black Talk Radio Network. Let me see if I can. Mr. Ronnie is his name, or what I call him, Mr. Ronnie. Let me just check right quick. This is a new program that's on the network. Let me see if it comes on tonight. Got to check on Tando Radio Show. Usually comes on at 6. Let me see. All right. I do believe Mr. Ronnie doesn't come on till Tuesday night, so I'm sorry. I'm sorry about that. All right. Well, I'm bringing it into the broadcast. Tando Radio Show should be coming up at 6 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time, and that'll conclude our live broadcasting of the day. Recognize the fact that you live behind enemy lines. It's a battlefield out there. Slave catchers is trying to catch slaves. Don't be a slave. You don't want to be a slave. I don't know of anybody that wants to live in slavery. So let's not make it easy for them. Let's be codified. Let's use strategy. Let's recognize our position and strength. And I mean, make an honest assessment. Let's not thinking we bigger and badder than we really are. And what we can take on, pick and choose your battles wisely. Okay? Pick and choose wisely. All right, so with that said, peace and blessings to all y'all. Be safe out there. I'm out.